Aleph Amid Aleph, in middle of the page, where it says Gufa, at the two dots, or in the Hebrew English, we're in the 482, the second column, in middle of the second column. You found it?
I'll find it. This is a different
I know that.
Layout.
Okay, Gufa. We learned before in the Gemara the following din. The pasuk says, "V'yatzah chinam ein kasef," that the girl should go out free without money. Okay? Now that, as we learned, deals with an ame ivriya. An ame ivriya is a maidservant. Now, a maidservant can go out for a few things. After 6 years, or when she reaches 12 years old, she goes out free from being a slave, and so on. So it says in the pasuk like this, "V'yatzah chinam ein kasef." She goes out free without money. Now we know in Torah every word is exact. If the Torah says she goes out free, it means without money. Why does the Torah say v'yatza chinam ein kasef? Double expression. So from there the Gemara learned out before that she goes out free without money to teach us, but there are other times when there is money involved, which is when a man marries a woman, kedushin. So then he has to give her money. Remember, the Gemara was discussing before, from where do we learn out that you need to give money for kedushin, or equal money, right? The equivalent of money. So the Gemara, meanwhile, in the whole last few pages, was learning it from the Gemara that says, v'yatza chinam ein kasef, that she goes out free without money. It's redundant. So the Gemara says, it teaches us she goes out free without money for this master, to get freedom, but when she goes to get married, then there needs to be given money. Okay? Now, Gemara says like this. It says on the pasuk v'yatzah chinam elu yimei bagrus. That's when she's 12 and a half. Ein kasef, she goes out without money. This was quoted on the top of the page of the same page. Elu yimei nidus. Those are the days when 12. And remember, we learned like this. Last time we learned that by a boy, until you're 13, you're a minor. Over 13, you're an adult. That's it. Very simple. Up to bar mitzvah, you're a kid. Over bar mitzvah, you're an adult. By girls, there's three stages. There's a ketana until she's 12. She becomes bat mitzvah 12, obligated in mitzvahs. But she's still under the jurisdiction of the father for a half a year more. Until she becomes what's called a begeris or begeris. In yeshiva, to say begeris, in correct Hebrew, would be bogeris. Okay? So, she becomes an adult at 12, but from 12 to 12 and a half, she's still under the father's jurisdiction. Meaning, if she gets money, it belongs to her father. If somebody gives a kedushin, the father gets the money. She's still under the jurisdiction of the father. So the Gemara says like this, a girl goes out from being a slave when she reaches 12. So the Gemara says, how do we know this? How do we know that she goes out at 12? So the Gemara says like this, V'yatza chinim, she goes out free, means at 12 and a half. Ein kasef means she goes out at 12, not 12 and a half. In other words, and the Gemara is going to discuss this in a segment, it's very simple logic. If the Torah would just say, she goes out free, okay, I would think it's at the age of 12 and a half. Because that's when she leaves even the father's domain. So then if she's a slave to a master, she would also go out at 12 and a half. So the Torah says an extra ein kasef to teach us that she really goes out at 12. Okay? So the Gemara says like this, ein kasef, v'yatzah chinam, she goes out free means she goes out when she's 12 and a half. Now the Torah adds ein kasef without money, teaches us that not only does she go out at 12 and a half, she even goes out at 12. So the Gemara says, So the Gemara has a very simple question. So let the Torah tell us she goes out at 12, and then she definitely goes out at 12 and a half. In other words, it means like this. One teaches the next. Meaning as follows. Like I said, if the Torah would only say one, what would I think it means? 12 and a half. So the Torah couldn't just say one, because one would mean she goes out when she's 12 and a half. How do I know she goes out even at 12? Only from the Torah saying it twice. She goes out free without money. Meaning, without free, going out free means she would go out at 12 and a half. But the Torah says, I'm going to tell you something more. She goes out at 12. But if the Torah would only say one, what would I think it means? 12 and a half.
What do you mean one?
If the Torah just says the Yotzeh Chinam, period.
It didn't say
if the Torah just says she goes out free, what age would I think that means? Now, if you had a choice of 12 or 12 and a half, why? No, but when the Torah says one thing, you do it to the maximum of what it would be. When does a girl leave her father?
12 and a half.
12 and a half. So if the Torah says a girl leaves her master, what would I think it is? 12 and a half. So if the Torah only said one word, v'yatzachinam, I would think it means when she's 12 and a half. Why would I think it means 12 if it's logical to say she goes out at 12 and a half?
My mind is
so the Torah...
I'm sorry, why would you...
Hi.
You know where Ben Zakan's place is?
Two blocks down on the other side of the street.
Do you know the number?
322, I think.
322,
something like that.
What would be your having enough?
Where else do we find that a girl goes out free?
By a slave?
By a father. No, we're talking about by a slave now.
By a father.
What age does she leave the father? That the father has no more jurisdiction over her property or anything. 12 and a half.
What's the having of 12 and a half?
Because that's what the Torah says. A girl leaves her father 12 and a half. A Naira is still under the jurisdiction of the father. So if the Torah would only say one of the two, what would I learn it to mean? When she's 12 and a half, she goes out. How do I know she goes out at 12? The Torah has to tell us the second pasuk. So the Gemara says, but just say one, and I would think it means 12. The Gemara says, you can't say that. Because there's only, and the Gemara says a similar thing. It says, we find another similar case. There's a din like this. If a kohen buys a slave, it's a very interesting din. A kohen eats truma, right? Truma is given to the kohen. The Torah says like this. If a kohen buys a slave, meaning a goyish slave that you own, that goyish slave could eat truma. A guy who's a slave can eat truma. The Torah says, Teisha v'sachir. Okay, a guy that lives with you, or a guy that you hire, cannot eat truma.
But a slave could.
Because a slave could. Why? Because when you own the slave, he's part of your possession. If you hire a worker, you don't own him. So, well, he's not a kohen. Why can he eat truma? Right? Yeah. So the Torah says like this. 1 second. We find that Tanya says in the Braisa like this. Teishav, it says in the Tatum, Teishav and the Sachis. It says, Teishav Zakone Kinyan Eilam. Who cannot, it refers to that he can't eat truma. Means a slave that you buy, Kinyan Eilam means until Yovel. Meaning as follows, there's a din. When you buy a Jewish slave, what?
Where?
No, more here, more than 12 lines. Even with the tasis, the low, the bottom tasis, 2 lines above the bottom tasis. Okay, then it's like this: when you buy a Jewish slave, male slave, you own him for 6 years. Okay. Then the pasuk says in Mishpatim, the slave comes. He says, "Oh, I love being a slave. Yeah, I like it." So you take the bed and they drill the ear, and he stays until Yovel, Jubilee year, 50th year. He doesn't stay for 50 years. He stays until the 50th year, whichever the cycle is of the 50th year. So the Gemara Torah says like this: Teisha v'sachir lo yochal bo. The Torah says like this: you buy a goyish slave, he can eat truma. But tosha v'sachir, a guy who lives with you, or a guy you hire, cannot eat truma, because you don't own him, so he's not your possession, and he's a regular Jew, he's a Yisrael or a Levi, he can't eat truma. So the Gemara says like this, what do these two words mean? Toshav v'sachir. So the Gemara says like this, Toshav means a guy that's a slave, a Jewish slave, that stays with you until Yovel. He cannot eat truma. Sachir is a guy that works for you for 6 years, a regular Jewish slave. Both of them cannot eat truma. Okay? So the Gemara asks, if the 50-year guy can't, for sure the 6-year can't, why does the Torah need to say both? Think about it. If the guy that's working you for up to 50 years can't eat truma, so the guy that's working for you 6 years, for sure can't eat truma. Why does the Gemara say, the Gemara is asking on itself, like, Toshav means, you know who cannot eat truma? Both the guy that works for 50 years and the guy that works for 6 years. So the Gemara asks, let it say just the 50 year, and for sure the 6 year guy can't eat. So, yeah, so the Gemara answers again what we're saying over here. If I would have only one, which one would I say it means? The 6 year one. Who's more logical that cannot eat truma? 6 year guy or 50 year guy? 6 year guy is more logical that he cannot eat.
We're talking about slaves.
Right. 6 year slave or 50 year slave. So if I would only have one word, I would say it means the 6 year slave can't. Maybe the 50 year could. So the Torah says both. But again, you see, why can't the Torah just write one and I would automatically know the next? Because if it would only write one, I would think it's the more logical one. When should a girl go out? It's more logical, 12 and a half than 12. So if the Torah only wrote one, I would say she goes out at 12 and a half, not at 12. So the Torah has to write two to tell me first the more logical one, and then not only that, the less logical one also applies. What?
You could think that if it's only one, that it's 6 years, or up to 50 years, and no more than 50, and then you could...
Well, there's never a Jew say more than 50.
It cannot be more than 50, but up to 50 could be.
Right.
So you could think that if it's only one, it's not to exceed 50 years. Six and seven and 20 and...
No, the Torah says there's no in-betweens.
No, I'm saying it's not the six. I'm saying if it's one, it's the six for sure. If it's only one, you think it's the six.
Right, that cannot eat truma.
The most logical.
Right.
Why shouldn't you think that the one is a 50?
Because six is more practical.
Because six is more realistic that he shouldn't eat. If I would tell you on your own, forget the pasuk in Chumash, okay? I would say to you, listen, a slave that you don't own cannot eat truma. Okay? A slave you don't own cannot eat truma. And you have two choices. A 6 year slave or a 50 year slave. Which one in your mind would be more logical that he cannot eat truma? The 6 year one. Because the guy that you have for 50 years, you own more than the guy that's 6 years. Right? So if the Torah would have only said one of them cannot eat truma, I would say the 6 year guy can't, but maybe the 50 year guy could. So the Torah says twice to teach us the 50 year guy can't and the 6 year guy can't. Or do you really the other? The 6 year guy can't and even the 50 year guy can't. You know why? Because when you buy a Jewish slave, just to explain the concept, you don't own the slave. He works for you for 6 years. You don't own him. A guy is your slave. You own for life. His kids are yours. His kids' kids are yours.
He's your couch.
It's your like, house. Yeah.
Well,
your,
the slave becomes a commodity, right? You could trade the slave.
The guy is your slaves or the Jewish slaves?
Jewish
slaves, you cannot. It's not commodities.
Slave,
yeah, they used to trade them on the slave blocks. Yeah.
Because he owes this money, so therefore his life...
No. That's a Jewish slave. A Goyish slave is not sold. There's only two ways a Jewish man can become a slave. Either he stole and doesn't have money to give back, or he's so broke he can't feed himself, he can sell himself as a slave. But even that, it's only for 6 years. And then, you know, you drill his ear, whatever, he wants to stay longer. But he doesn't, you don't own him. he's not your property. A goyish slave is your property.
But the goyish slave becomes Jewish after he becomes your slave.
He becomes your partial Jewish. Partial Jewish, not 100% Jewish. You can't count it for a minion till you free him. In other words, a goyish slave that you buy in the market. Yeah? You take him, you bring him home, you give him a bris, you dunk him in the mikveh, and he becomes obligated in all the mitzvahs that the women are obligated in. All negative mitzvahs, all this. When the Torah, the Ten Commandments says, you, your slave, your mate, yeah? It refers to goyish slaves. Jewish slaves anyway have to keep Shabbos. Tonight, right? When Torah says in the Ten Commandments, yeah, you, your slave, your mate, refers to goyim that you buy. A Jewish guy is anyway Jewish. That's you. It's not your slave. He's a yid. Right? A guy that you buy as a slave, you can't stop him from mitzvahs. He's a yid. He has to keep all the mitzvahs anyway. Okay? So then they become obligated in all the mitzvahs that women have to do. Okay? But, just like you can't count a woman for a minion, neither is he. If you free him, he becomes free. Either you knock out his tooth, or his eye, or another one of the primary organs of the body, if you knock it out, God forbid, whatever. Or, if you just free him, he becomes 100% Jew. Now, the Rambam says, interestingly, what happens if you buy a slave, and the guy says, I'm not interested in a bris.
Yeah, yeah. I was
going to
ask.
I'm not interested. So Rama says you deal with him for a year, you negotiate for a year. If after a year the guy refuses, you got to let him go. And then he's not a Jew. Because he never became the slave. Then you have to let him go.
Why is it in this situation it's incumbent upon the mitzvahs that women perform?
That's what the book says. I mean, there's no reason.
Oh, okay, got it. Okay.
No, there's no... Huh?
Just negative mitzvah.
Just negative mitzvah, or positive mitzvah is not connected to time. But regardless, even though he's that, but he's still your property, you own him, his kids are your slaves. It's a permanent babadi
leilam. Can he marry a Jew?
No.
Can he marry a goy?
Yeah.
And is that goy?
As a slave still.
Is that goy a Jew?
No.
The goy that marries your slave.
There's a whole Gemara in Bar Basra, a very famous argument between Bisham and Beisilu. A guy that's half slave, half free. How do you have a guy who's half slave, half free? Two owners. Two owners bought a guy who's a slave together. Yeah? And one of them lets him free. So now he's half slave, half free. So the Gemara said, what does he do?
No,
one second. So the Gemara says, he works for the master that still owes him one day, and the other day he's free. There's one day on, one day off, one day on. So the Gemara says, 1 minute. Okay, you took care of the master, but what do you do with the slave? The Gemara says like this. He can't marry a Jew because he's half guy. He can't marry a guy because he's half Jew. And the Gemara says, the world was created to inhabit. So the Gemara says, in that case, you know what you do? You force the owner, who still owns him, to free him.
You force him.
Bezin forces him. Not me and you. Bezin forces him because the guy's stuck. He's a half Jew. You know, when you ask people in the street, I'm half Jewish, you know. This is a real case when the guy's half Jewish. This is a case when the guy's half Jewish.
Maybe that's what they mean.
Yeah, I doubt it. But that's what it means.
If this person was a woman and gave birth to a child, what would that child be? That's the quotage.
No, by a woman, you can't have that stuff.
No.
You can have a Shivcha Kanainis. That you're free. I don't know if what we did in the Vama.
And beforehand in our sugya, you said that a non-Jewish slave can eat truma.
Yeah, if a kohen buys him. Of course, no. If a kohen, of course.
What about
kodesh? No, certain things, yes, certain things not.
When did slavery stop and why?
Abraham Lincoln.
The din of slavery stopped in din of Eved Ibi stopped during the Beis Hamikdash time, and Eved Kenani stopped afterwards.
Weren't these laws
dependent on
living on the land?
That's why some of them stopped. Not all of them, but some of them applied. That's why in the middle of the second Beis Hamikdash, the Eden started going into Golus, so then the dinim stopped. No, Eved Kenani stopped by the time of the Rishonim, yeah.
So this dinim does not apply, right?
No, these dinim don't apply today. No, they don't, because today we...
Now there's bankruptcy.
Abraham Lincoln. No. Abraham Lincoln.
If somebody wants to become
Abraham
Jewish,
Lincoln.
No.
He says, you know, goes to a rabbi or some Jew and says, you know, I want to become your slave.
No, you can't be a slave.
I want to be your.
Can't be a slave. Okay.
Doesn't work.
No. So it says like this. The Tanya we learned. It says like this. Teishav. Remember, Teishav and Sochi can both not eat Truma. So Teishav means a guy that's Koni Kinyan Elam. Okay, who's bought for Yevil. He can't eat. And Sachir, Zakoni Kinyan Shonim, even a guy who's owned for 6 years, also cannot eat Truma. So the Gemara continues, says, Yemer Teishav le Yemer Sachir. Let it say one of the two. And I would say it means Kinyan Elam ain't Eichel. That the guy who's bought for Truma, I mean for 50 years, can't eat. Can you show them if you buy him for 6 years, they're called chicane, then for sure he can't eat. You know, like we discussed. So the Gemara asks, why does the Torah say both? 50 and 6. Let it just say 50 can't eat, and I would know for sure 6 can't eat. So the Gemara says, but then if the Torah would only say one, which one would I say it means? It means the 6 year one. But then, like the Gemara says, like this, if it said only one, then I would say it means 6 years. Avokani kinyan elam. But maybe if a guy was bought for 50 years, maybe he could eat. If the Torah only said one, so ba sachav alimid al teishav, sachav and teishav together come to teach us. Afal pishakani kinyan elam. Even though you require him for 50 years, ena eichel, he still cannot eat. So we're likening the case of the Yatza Chinam en Kosef, that a girl goes out at 12 because of the two psukim, right? The first pasuk means 12 and a half she goes out. Then the second pasuk teaches us no, even when 12 she goes out. And the Gemara said, why do I need both? And we find this already at a different place in Torah. Teishav is Sachir, that not only a guy that's bought for 50 years can't eat Truma, or what, 60 can't eat Truma, and even a guy 50 years can't eat Truma. Olam is 50 years. The Torah says Ad Olam, and Olam, Rashi says, from the Gemara, means 50 years.
It's a lifetime.
Huh?
It's a lifetime.
Yeah. In fact, they also learn it out from Shmuel Anavi. His mother brought him to the Beis Hamikdash when he was 2 years old. She said, I want to wean the child, which was 2 years old. And it says he lived there ad Olam. He was in the Beis Hamikdash ad Olam. And the pasuk says he died at 52. So the Gemara learned out from there, one of the sources, that when it says Olam, doesn't mean forever. Even in America, life sentence doesn't mean life sentence, right? Doesn't mean until you die.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, no. Yeah. Doesn't.
Until parole.
No.
Until you run away.
It is. A life sentence means, but no, if you get no parole, you die in prison.
But he didn't live in the Islamic base, Shiloh, for
yeah. Life. Yeah, yeah.
He traveled. He went back to the...
That was traveling, but where was he living?
He went back to live...
It says he was involved in...
A life sentence for no parole, you die in prison.
Okay. Depends how old you are. Okay. Amalei Abaye. Abaye says... You can't compare these two stories with a girl to Truma, with the slave. Why? Hasam, in the case of Teishav and Sachir, right? Today, Gufin is talking about two different people. One's a slave for 50 years, one is a slave for 6 years. But it's two different people. By the girl, it's the same girl that's 12 and 12 and a half. Meaning it says like this. Techinami kosef rachmanu teishav nir tzele yerchal. If the Torah would have said, a teishav who is drilled, meaning stays for yevil. Vahadu kosef iduch. And then the Torah would have written even 6 years not. Have a sochid mil sadasya bekavuchaymer. Then sochid would be a kavuchaymer, meaning a mil sadasya bekavuchaymer, Torah of a kosev lekrat. Meaning as follows. There's a rule in Gemara that sometimes, even though you could learn it out, what's called a kavuchaymer, if this is the case, definitely this is the case, nevertheless the Torah will write a pasuk. That's the rule in the Gemara. Misa da asya bekavuchaymer. Something you learn out from a kalvachemer, tarach v'kosev lakrat. The Torah will write a pasuk anyway. That's the Torah's style. Even though you can learn it out really from a kalvachemer, the Torah nevertheless will say a pasuk. Okay,
for the same din.
See, something like this. If the Torah writes teishav means 50 years doesn't eat, and then the Torah writes sachir 6 years doesn't eat. Correct. Even though it's a kal v'chaymer, if 50-year guy can't eat, so for sure the 6-year guy can't eat, right? Nevertheless, I understand why the Torah writes both.
Would you call one teishav, one
sachir? Yeah, but Torah does, teishav and sachir.
50 years.
Teishav, and sachir is 6 years. So even though if the Torah wrote clearly, teishav nirtza, if the Torah would have written clearly, the 50-year guy cannot eat truma, and then the Torah would write clearly, the 6-year guy can't eat truma, it still makes sense why the Torah is writing both. I once a kal v'chemer, if the 50-year guy can't eat truma, how could the 6-year guy eat truma? But the Gemara says the Torah does write a kal v'chemer and a pasuk. That's not a problem. But over here, elaho chachad gufahi, she's one body. It's the same girl. If she goes out when she's a naira at 12, Bagir is my boy Gabay, so why should she be there 12 and a half? Meaning like this, how could you say Torah sheds light from one word onto the next like we do by Teishav and Sachir? Over there it's two different people. And if it's two different people, the Torah will write one did for one person and one did for another person. Even though it could be a Kal v'chaymer, even though it could be for sure, nevertheless the Torah writes a pasuk. But if over here the Torah wants to tell us a naira goes out free at 12, so why does the Torah have to tell she goes out at 12 and a half? In other words, the Gemara's question is, why can't the Torah say clearly a naira goes out free? Why can't the Torah say clearly a girl that's 12 goes out free? Why does it have to say two words? One to teach us 12 and a half goes out free, and then the second one to teach me a 12-year-old goes free. Say 12-year-old goes free and finished. Elam Abaya, Abaya says like this. You know why you need the pasuk? He says, Initzrucha elalabega da islandis. Okay, now this is an interesting concept. An islandis is a woman that never develops female symptoms. Okay?
Never?
She never reaches puberty. She exhibits some masculine characteristics. She's incapable of bearing children. In the Gemara, the Rambam also brings down all the signs. Her voice is like a male voice, and she doesn't have breasts, and she doesn't have, there's certain, she's a woman, but she never develops the signs and the symbols of puberty.
It's like the opposite of a eunuch.
Whatever, I don't know what, whatever. So the din is like this, huh?
Yeah, that's what it says.
Yeah. Okay. So the din is, normally, what makes a girl bas mitzvah? Today we say it's 12. But the truth is, she needs to have the signs of puberty. Two hairs, you know, various different signs of puberty. So technically, some girls might get it 12 and a half. Some girls might get it 12 in a day, 12 in a month, 12 in a week, you know. The accepted halacha for most things is 12. Okay, that's when the assumption is that they get it. Now, this islandess never gets it. When does she become an adult? So then she becomes an adult at 20.
Well, an adult at 20?
Because then you know for sure she's an islandess.
She's going to suffer till then?
But suffer. She's not a gedolah. She doesn't have a din of an adult. You can't count her for a minion. Right.
That's what I'm saying.
No, that's what I'm saying. So it says like this.
But she's not mentally impaired.
No. No, it's all physical.
Didn't she get married? Till
she can get married.
But she's not capable of it.
The shailas, can a man marry her? Because he has a mitzvah pruervu. But what happens if the man already did a mitzvah pruervu? Yeah. He's not capable of having children, that's all. That's what it says. Any girl, any woman that has children, you know for sure she's not an islandess.
She's not in the category of Tum Tum and Undergin.
That's, those are males.
Even if the woman grew beard already? Because
yeah. Anyway, okay, so let's leave the islandess out. So he says like this. Why do we need the Torah to tell us that she goes out of Begeris? The Gemara says, if the Torah teaches us she goes out at 12, why do I need to tell us 12 and a half? So Gemara says to us, when does an islandess go out? When she becomes a Begeris. At what age does an islandess become a Begeris at 20? How do I know she ever goes out?
She goes out means
at 20.
She goes out
if she's a slave. Because a girl goes out free when she reaches puberty. Right? This girl doesn't reach puberty until 20. But maybe, even 20, we give her she still didn't reach puberty, but she's still now a gedola, right? An adult. So the Torah tells us, two psukim, v'yotza chinam, that a girl at the age of 12 goes out. And Kasa teaches a begeris, an islandess who's a begeris, at 20 she goes out. That's what I'm saying. In biblical laws, I'll give you an example. In certain laws, you need really to check. If a guy is a... Today, for a minyan, for Elias, you know, we're mekel. But if it comes to certain laws when you need to be a man... Bezin would check somebody to see if they reach puberty or not. I'll give you a simple example. To be a witness, you need to be an adult, correct? Okay, it says in Halacha, that's why it's better not to take a witness under 18. Because 18, you know for sure they reached it, okay? But technically, a kid saw a murder. I mean, 13-year-old boy saw a murder. You don't have capital punishment. Yeah? Or he testifies that a guy ate chazer, and therefore you have to give him lashes. Yeah? Now you gotta prove that he's a kosher witness. Just because he's 13 doesn't make him an adult. Right? Doesn't necessarily make him an adult. Bezdin, and you're talking about capital punishment, you're talking about lashes, you're not talking about games. You know, give minion, not minion, you know. Let him do Rabbi Samuel von Benchen, you know. I mean, you're talking about serious stuff. So then Bezin would have to check him. I'm going to close the tape because I don't... The tape's back on. Anyway, that's... But he had a din of an adult. Okay. So Sal Kedai Techamin, I would think, Benadus Tepuk, that when a girl reaches 12, a normal, regular girl reaches 12, she goes out as a slave. But Bavagrasli Tepuk, maybe she would never go out by a Begeris. So the Chiddush is, if it's an islandess, she goes out when she becomes a Begeris. The adult of the islandess is when she reaches 20. That's the din. Okay, so now the Gemara asks, Mask of Marbar Avashi. So Marbar Avashi asks the following question. is it not a kal v'chomer? Meaning as follows. Uma simonim. If puberty, ein metzia mishus av, which doesn't take her out of the father, metzia mishus adin fizer from the master, begadis, I'll explain this whole thing in a second. Begadis she metzia mishus av, begadis that takes her out of the father, ein adin she metzia mishus adin fizer, for sure, it could take out from the master. Meaning like this. We said, at the age of 12, a girl goes out of the master. Okay? But the father still controls her property until 12 and a half. Anything she makes goes to the father. Okay? That's the day, until she's 12 and a half. The father can accept kedushin for her. The father can do a lot of things from 12 to 12 and a half, even though she's a complete adult. So Gemara says like this, if puberty doesn't take her out of the father's domain for another half a year, frees her from the master at 12, if she's a slave, she goes out free. So 12 and a half, that removes her from the father's domain, for sure should remove her from the master's domain. So why do I need the extra pasuk to tell me about a begetis of an islandess, that begetis takes a girl out of slavery? I would know that automatically. Because the puberty removes it from the master, not from the father, because the father still controls it for another half a year. So begetis, which is 12 and a half, which removes it from the father, for sure can remove it from the master. Therefore, Elam Amar Ben Avashi says, Leinitzrach teaches us, Elal Iker Zvina the islandess. What does it mean, go out free? It teaches us the original sale of an islandess is valid. If she's an islandess. I'll explain in a second. Salka Daita Chamin, I would think, the Asyasimoninitis, a girl that reaches puberty, have a Zvina, is a good sale for the father to sell the girl as a maidservant. The Laasyasimoninitis, but a girl who doesn't get signs of puberty, lehavas vina's vina, it wouldn't be a good sale. Kamash malan, it teaches us that it does have it. It is a good sale. Meaning like this. Abaye said, and the Smart Rav Ashi said, that why do I need v'yotza chinam en kasef? Right? One teaches us a girl 12 goes out from the master, and the other one teaches us 12 and a half, or a begetis of an islandess, that when she gets 20, she goes out free. Right? So the Gemara asks, why do I need a pasuk? If it takes it out of the father, begetis, takes her out of the father, for sure it can take her out of the master. So why do we need the extra pasuk? So the Gemara says, I would think that you can't even sell an islandess. I would think, who can you sell? A girl that puberty frees. But a girl, i.e. an islandess, which puberty does not free, because she never reaches puberty, I would think you're not allowed to even sell her.
But you said by the age 20,
Yeah, but she still never reaches puberty, even at 20.
I understand, but by 20 you said we...
Yeah, but Gemara says, that's what I need the pasuk for, to teach me that she goes out, that means you're allowed to sell her. The Gemara asks, why do I need an extra pasuk to tell me that a begetis goes out free? If she goes out at 12, for sure she goes out at 20. Because begetis frees her from the father and to definitely free her from the master, right? So Gemara says, it comes to teach me another thing. It teaches me that you can sell her. Maybe you're only allowed to sell a girl that reaches puberty. How do you know that you can sell a girl that will never reach puberty? Maybe you're not allowed to sell her. So Vichitar says, V'yotzer chinam ein kosef, that a girl who is an islandess, who reaches puberty, so to speak, at 20, goes out free. Meaning that you're even allowed to sell her. No, it's a minor. You can't sell a girl over the age of...
Also by a regular girl. Over 12 and a half, you can't sell.
Correct. Over 12, you can't.
12?
Yeah. The Torah says you can only sell her when she's a kid. Thank you. Only when she's a kid, under 12.
What's the story with 12 and a half? What extra things can you not do between 12 and 12?
The only thing, what do you mean? The only difference is that the father controls her.
From 12 to 12.
Yeah.
And everything she owns?
It's father's.
Can he marry her? That age?
12 to 12 and a half, yeah.
And there's a
pasuk
for this? The difference between
12
and
12? No, these are all halachah
l'mashmasina
that Rambam writes. Both 12 and 12 and a half? How do we know a boy comes by mitzvah 13? Yeah, which pasuk?
Shem.
But that's one opinion. Another opinion is halachah l'mashmasina. By girls, the whole concept is for sure halachah l'mashmasina.
There's no
pasuk
in the hint of like
no.
How do you know when the boys
leave from it, so
13?
When the caterer gets the party bill.
No. Shem, you said?
Because when Shimon and Levi killed Shem,
yeah, they were 13?
The Torah calls him Ish, a man, and there were 13.
Okay.
Huh? Strong kids? So now the Gemara says, "Olamar baravashi konta mar baravashi." We said before that lechayri can learn off of lava kavochemer. When he asked the question, it's like, "Is it not a kavochemer? Why do I need the pasuk?" Right? He just asked. If the girl goes out of 12, for sure 12 and a half. So the Gemara says, "What's his question? We just got through saying that even if it's a kavochemer, the Torah writes a pasuk anyway. We just said that rule. Well, I mean, we just got through saying milsedasi b'kavochemer." Something that you could derive from a kavochemer, part of a kasev lokar, the Torah writes a pasuk anyway. So why is he asking? It's a kavochemer. So what? We know the Torah writes a pasuk anyway. He's asking, why do I need a pasuk if it's a kavochemer? We just got through saying that even if it's a kavochemer, the Torah writes a pasuk anyway. So why is a very simple answer? Hani mili heichad alek l'shnuyi. When do you say that rule that even though it's a kavochemer, the Torah writes a pasuk? That you have no other answer. Why I need the pasuk. But if there's another answer why I need the pasuk, you give that answer better. And the fact is, the Gemara had a different answer, so the Gemara gave the different answer. In other words, if you have no answer, why do I need the pasuk? You can learn it out from a kavochemer. If there's no other answer to the question, you say, you know what? We find in Chumash that even though you can learn it out from a kavochemer, the Torah tells us the pasuk. But if you have a better answer, you answer a better answer.
Sounds like a cop-out.
No, that's the rule.
No, I know it's the rule. I'm just saying the way.
In other words, it sounds like it's the answer for the skeptics.
Why is it an answer for the skeptics?
Well, because they probably don't buy a kavochomer argument, so they want an actual puzzle.
Kavochomer.
There's actually no
one of those. 1 second. You can't say a kavochomer because every person can make their own kavochomer. You can't punish based on a kavochomer. Ain ancient min adin. No, kavochemer not halacha mishum esinai. No, kavochemer means you make it up yourself. If this is the guy, for sure this is this. Zer shava that here it says a word, there it says a word. That was given over mishum esinai, and therefore that you could punish on. But as we're going to see in many times in the Gemara makes a kavochemer. You know what is. And the Gemara says, hey, you're wrong. How do you know the logic is this? Maybe logic is that way.
Just
explain Kavochemer. Kavochemer means, there's an English word for it, by the way.
Much more so.
Huh?
Much more so.
No, there's an English word for it.
A forshari.
Something like that. Or a forshari. Sounds like a Ferrari, yeah. The thing is like this. If a girl goes out at 12, so for sure she goes out at 12 and a half, yeah? That's called kavochemer. If this is this case, for sure in this case, this happens. If a guy that's slave for 50 years can't eat truma, so for sure, it's obvious that how much more so a guy that's only working for 6 years, for sure he can't eat truma. Okay? There's a kavochemer, there's 10 kavochemers in the Chumash. One of the kavochemers is when Miriam spoke against Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, when Miriam and Aaron spoke that, who do you think he is, you know, that. So the Torah says, like this, if she spit in her father's face, she spit in her father's face, the father would lock her up for a week. So she spits in God's face, for sure we're going to lock her up. Okay? Or Moshe Rabbeinu said to God, when Hashem told him, there's another simpler one. Moshe Rabbeinu was sent by Hashem, go to Pari and tell her, you know, let the Jews out, yeah? Let the Jews out. So Moshe Rabbeinu comes to God and says, the Jews are not going to listen to me. The Eichish Meini Pari, how is Pari going to listen to me? That's what Moshe Rabbeinu says in Chumash. The Heim B'nei Yisrael Yamin Ile Yishmoli. The Eichish Meini Pari. Moshe says to God, God, if the Jews are not listening to me, how much more so? Pari, that's called Kavol Chaimah. It's one of the ways we derive Torah. But because every person can make up their own Kal Vachomer, you can't punish based on the Kal Vachomer.
There's no such thing as a known Kal Vachomer from passed down from Moshe Rabbeinu?
Everything in Torah is passed down.
No, like,
but it's not strong enough. No, it's like, not strong enough.
Like, just like the position is one of the 13 ways of learning, but it has to be handed down. Is there such a thing as...
No, but Kal Vachomer, the Gemara says... Because every person's liable to make their own Kal Vachomer, and you could. Therefore, maybe it's not right, and therefore.
Person.
Yeah.
To punish.
Yeah. Okay. So, therefore, the Gemara until now, in the last 2.5 pages, discussed how do we get into all this Gemara. The Gemara asked, how do we know a man has to give money to the woman to do Kedushin? The Gemara says, we learn now from the Pasuk, V'yatza chinam ein kosef. There's no money when she leaves this master, but when she leaves her father to get married to a man, then there is money. So that's how they learn out the man has to give the woman money for Kedushin. I guess that today we use a ring. Okay, but the Gemara says now, V'tana maisa l'mehocha. Our Tana, in our Mishnah, learns it out, not in our Mishnah, in the Braisa, learns it out from a different Pasuk. From where do we learn that a man acquires a woman with a ring or money? So Gemara says, it says in the Pasuk like this, by the laws of marriage it says, Ki yikach ish isha, if a man will marry a woman, who ba'ala and live with her, v'hoyim le'sim sochein be'enov. And he'll be that she doesn't find favor in his eyes, ki matza ba'erven zdova. Because he found whatever, nakedness or whatever, something improper. Okay? So that Torah talks about the laws of marriage and divorce together in the same pasuk. So the Gemara says like this: what does the Torah use the expression "ki yikach"? Take. The Gemara says "en kicha elakesef." Kicha means money. How do you take with money? Where do we find taking is with money? Because it says "v'cheinu emer." So it says by Avraham Avinu when he bought the Maris and Machpela from Ephron. It says, Nosati kesev asad kach mimeni. I have given you the money of the field. Take it from me. So what is take what? Take the money. Right? So you see, when the Torah says take, how do you take? You take with money. So the Gemara learns out that when the Torah says, ki yikach ish isha, yikach means money, and therefore the man, one of the ways of acquiring the man, a man acquiring the woman, is with money.
Why not literal money? Why do we use a ring?
Oh, 1 minute. The Gemara says in the first mission, the first page, kesef or shava kesef. The reason why we use a ring today is more Kabbalah than anything else. If a man comes over to a woman under the chuppah, he decides, you know what, I want to be a revolutionist. Here he gives a siddur to the girl under the chuppah. He says, "Harei at mekudeshesli besiddur zu kedas Moshe v'Yisrael." And the girl takes the siddur, thus is married as a ring. Mm-hmm. Everybody will have a good laugh. They'll think he's nuts, but it's not tradition. It's not the minig. Okay, but you know. If you give her a bar of chocolate, that's worth a penny.
Is it legal today if you're doing
so? Yeah. I'll tell you something. If a boy comes over to a girl, okay, teenager, boy comes over to a girl in front of 2 kosher witnesses, okay, says to the girl, be chocolate zoo, be pizza zoo, be sushi zoo, be whatever he's giving her. And if it's worth a cent, and the girl takes it in front of two witnesses, that girl needs a get. She cannot marry a Korean anymore. And it's the whole works, yeah.
I heard this happen. That
happened more than once. Yeah. More than once. Kids in high school.
They're joking.
Good kids in high school.
Just by saying that?
In front of two kosher witnesses? Yeah.
He'll do like mock weddings. And
mock weddings are big shilish, you know. They have to make sure there's nobody kosher there, and you know, and they have to understand there's no marriage intent, it's not kedusha. I mean, yeah. Fake wedding.
Like putting on a play and acting out what a wedding would be.
Yeah.
It could be a very big shilish. There are cases that girls needed to get in such a case. It's a very big problem. The reason Kabbalah is a ring is round and it's gold and whatever, you know.
You said not diamond though.
No, diamonds, because if there's a stone, she might think it's worth more than it actually is, and then she's thinking she's getting a $100,000 ring when it's only a $5 ring, and she wouldn't accept it. That's why the minig is a plain, simple, round gold ring.
Can you say that again? I didn't get it.
What?
About the diamond. She might think it's worth more than it is.
A woman has to know what she's... If a guy makes... A woman has to know what she's getting. If you give a woman a fake ring that looks like it's $100,000, yeah? And what do you call these fake rings, no?
Zirconia,
whatever. And it's a $5 ring. She's not Mekudeshes.
Why?
Because she thought it was a $100,000 ring.
That?
Huh? No, that's... She accepted the Kedushin because she was getting a $100,000 ring.
I mean, this is a diamond ring, an engagement ring.
With stones in it.
Yeah.
You can't use that under the chuppah.
Well, you have to use
that's why I use it. Doesn't she have to state this fact first, though? Doesn't
the what?
This, in other words, does she have to verbally... express that she's expecting a nice rock?
No.
No?
No.
So what about any other condition?
Kakert, the din by Kedushin is also Zichron Rebbe about it, that by Kedushin she dafke, you know, when a man says, "Are I'm a Kedushin Zibitabazu," the woman doesn't say, "I do." Right. She's quiet. There's a whole explanation why the woman doesn't say, acknowledging it, "Yes, I do, yes, something." It's dafke b'shtika. She dafke has to be quiet.
Because she doesn't have
a
value.
No, not because of the value. The Indian, she has to be quiet.
And in some weddings, they say, "I do." Like some weddings, non-Jewish, non-formed Jewish wedding.
In the garage?
No, not that.
You take him?
Yeah.
But I understand. If she doesn't...
That's why a double ring ceremony is a big shayla in halacha.
The problem is, this is the last time she'd be quiet, though.
That's why.
One second. What if a woman marries someone what if she wants? Let's say she thinks a guy is a Talmud Chacham. That's what she wants. She thinks a guy she wants.
Oh no, that's
and he's not a Talmud.
We're going to learn all those Gemaras in Kedushin. The Gemara in Kedushin is full of these.
If she doesn't know that by the time she marries him, then why is she marrying him?
No.
Maybe why?
No. Hello.
Hello.
In the Gemara Kedusha later on, in the chapters as we go on, there's a lot of discussion. If you say to a woman, on the condition I'm a scholar, and you found that he's not, it's not a valid Kedusha.
Yeah, one
second. The Gemara explains, it doesn't mean a Talmud Chacham like Ben Azai, who was... It means the Talmud Chacham that you ask him different things in different places and Torah, he knows.
Yeah.
But if a guy says, "Harayat Mukadash Yasi," on the condition I'm rich, and he's poor, or he says to her, "Harayat Mukadash Yasi," on the condition I'm poor, and she's rich, and he's rich, it's also not valid.
Okay, what about the ring, though? The ring, you don't have to say anything.
That, but one second. But if a guy comes over to a woman, and I'm saying that's if he verbalizes a condition.
Right.
If a man comes over to a woman, and that's Kedushin, in front of two witnesses, she accepts the ring. Later she says, "Hey, I thought you were rich."
Right.
He says, "I never said that."
Okay.
She's married. She needs a get.
I thought you said, though, that if you don't...
If he says, on the condition that I'm rich, and he's not, then the Kedushin is retroactively invalid because it was based on a condition that's not met. But if she says, 1 minute, he doesn't say a word. He says, I'm a Kedushin. He says, 1 minute, I thought you were rich. He says, I never made that condition.
You say that we don't give a diamond because if the diamond turns out to be less than it was worth, then she would.
Because she might not accept the Kedushin, correct. But, yeah, but I'm saying, you give her a simple ring, she knows exactly the value of the ring, okay. She accepts a Kedushin.
But I'm saying, in other words, the diamond ring, see the difference between the examples of the Talmud Chacham and the diamond ring, is that the diamond ring, no one is saying any type of, nobody's verbalizing any conditions in the diamond ring. Because if she finds out only later that it's not worth anything, she says, wait a minute. And then you
no, but she thought, though, what I'm getting for the act of Kedushin. Not what your personality is.
Right.
So if she thought she's getting more money for the act of Kedushin, and it's not, she never accepted that.
Even if it's not verbal.
Correct.
Question, but won't you know, if you date this girl for a while...
No, what happens if you meet only under the chuppah? Like the good old days.
Oh, wow. You don't really want that much. Okay.
He's going to...